Hello and welcome to African Joe Paddy. My name is Ife, and I'm recording from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Today, we're going to be discussing a holistic approach to maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea with Senior Captain Charles Bamile. Senior Captain Charles Bamile is a dedicated officer of the Iberian Navy who has over 30 years of experience in national, regional, as well as international security and maritime issues. He has been serving since 2016 as Operational Coordination Director for State Action at Sea, tasked with planning, coordinating, and assessing interagency and international maritime safety and security operations or training in Côte d'Ivoire. Previously, he has held for 3 years the strategic assignment of advisor to the Chief of the Ivorian Naval Staff for the development of national and regional maritime security strategies. Senior Captain Bamile graduated from the French Naval Academy in 1991 with a naval engineering degree and a degree of the German Command College of Hamburg in 2004. He holds the Medal of the Armed Forces, is a Knight in the Maritime Merit, and Knight in the Ivorian Merit. Senior Captain Charles Bamile, it's really a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us as a guest on African Joe Paddy.
I'm honored. Thank you, Dr. Ife, for that event. Thank you for having me here for that interview.
Thank you. So I'm just going to go straight to the point, given that you obviously have a busy schedule and it's been a very busy week for you. The first question I'd like to ask you is, what do you see as the key threats to maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea? What are the key threats to maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea? Given your position, you see everything, you see a lot of things.
Okay, thank you, Doctor. So, first of all, for our auditors, we have to determine the geographical zone we are talking about so that we can understand each other. Because when they will go to internet to dial Gulf of Guinea, there are many, many, many definitions. I will be talking here about the Gulf of Guinea defined since 2013 by the heads of states of the Yaoundé Architecture Security, Maritime Security Architecture. Okay. These definitions stretches from Senegal in the north, including the archipelagic countries as Cabo Verde, towards Angola, including the archipelagos of Equatorial Guinea and Sao Tome and Principe. So this is what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
So that is about 19 coastal countries. And this is a long stretch. It's about 3,000 kilometers, and they have different issues. So the principal threats is difficult to assess, but we have to take it this way. Who lives at sea? Who can threaten somebody at sea? For on my point of view, that can be either the Mother Nature through catastrophes, storms, cyclones, everything like that, or bad weather, and the people who practice at sea, seafarers. So we have to consider these two issues. Maritime, that is what has been defined as maritime safety when it's concerned nature and accidental issues, and maritime security when the threat comes from the activity of human beings or the activities at sea. So, and for me, there's a lot of threats out there.
Yeah.
Because all of our wealth, 90%, comes from the trade exchange through the Gulf of Guinea ports with the external world. So everything that is going to threaten this is going to be a threat.
Yeah.
We have also our coastline that provides us with the riches, with tourism, with fishing, and we also have oil production, oil and gas production there. Everything that can threaten them is a threat. We also have our ports.
Yeah.
And if 90% of our revenues come through the ports, if they are blocked, this is finished for us. So everything that has to threaten this is a threat. So, but when I told about the origin of the threats, either natural or either human-made, we have to see that natural, we cannot have a direct decision on it. Maybe we can predict and take measures to shelter. But for the human beings, where do the human beings live? They don't live on sea. They live on land. That means that if there's an issue at land that cannot control those people at sea that commit illegal activities at sea that threaten the well-being of the nations, of the riparian nations, that means that it has to be solved on land.
Yeah.
So, but we can talk about the consequences of the actions or the inactions at land that come to sea.
Okay.
And later on, maybe we can talk about what should be done on land. But what you can see at sea are usually, depending on the countries, because the countries prioritize. When you see the history of the threat and so on, you can see that here it's a hotspot of piracy and armed robbery, and that one here is about terrorism. Another here is about drug trafficking. Another here about illegal oil bunkering, and also you can have also arms smuggling, human trafficking, smuggling. Maybe slavery, but I don't think that slavery happens in the Gulf of Guinea. But human trafficking happens also, and also wild species smuggling and so on happen. So to say that there's a common threat where all of the countries of the Gulf of Guinea, they are in total with the 19 countries, they are in total 26, including the landlocked countries.
Yeah.
This is how we, in the Yaoundé architecture, decided this 2013, consider the things. They are riparian countries as well as landlocked countries. So they don't perceive threats at the same way, and that's good.
Okay.
To know the threats, it's what you perceive happening at in your area of interest. What happens in Nigeria cannot be the same thing that happens in Senegal, because what the bandits are looking for cannot be the same.
Okay. But so, would you say that there's a common threat for all the region? Is there a threat? Is there a threat that all the countries in the region have in common?
Yes. The threat they have in common is that they need proteins from the sea for the coastal communities as well as in the landlocked communities. Although they have rivers there, but everyone has to to go or to use the sea for interaction with the rest of the world. Even landlocked countries, they have to transport through trucks their products to the ports and then export them, and they have to import through the sea to the coastal countries' ports to have those products also. So that means that that's important for them. And the common threat I see there is IUU fishing, illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. Because most of our products come from protein, fish protein come from the sea, and most coastal countries fill it, and they are used to exporting that fish also to in the hinterland. So this is a common threat. One other threat is also drug trafficking, that usually in our region comes from South America through in the form of cocaine drugs. This is also there. Another threat that is also a kind of lack of governance on the part of the coastal trees is the illegal bunkering. Illegal bunkering is the measure some vessels take to refuel other vessels at sea for in preventing them from coming on land in a port to lose time. But while doing this, there are international commissions to do that. They don't always respect those commissions. And they don't coordinate these actions with anyone. If you are a vessel at sea in need of fuel to continue your activity, just go to them, they give you fuel. Whether you are an eagle, IUU fisher, a drug dealer, a terrorist, I don't know, they just give you fuel. So this is also a threat, and that is not only done by the perpetrators, but also from the weakness of the states that give the authorization or that don't see that some illegal activities are being done there, that give that gives also some fuel for other illegal activities. So there are more than that, but we can talk about them later on. This is about just a sample of common threats in the Gulf of Guinea.
All right. Thank you so much for clarifying and highlighting the threats, and primarily the threats that countries in the region share in common. I would now like to ask you, obviously, the fact that we have these issues means that the regions are working together to address them. I'm speaking to Captain Atom Fak later to discuss the progress made with Yaoundé architecture. And so I wanted to ask you, what would you see as a holistic approach to addressing these threats? How can we address these threats holistically? Because the assumption from your response, you sort of already highlighted some of the reasons maybe the states can supervise what they have or don't have the abilities, but what do you see as a way that we can holistically address these threats in our region?
Okay, thank you, Doctor. My thought is that the main threats that we can handle is the man-made threats. For the natural threats, we can only see things to shelter. Mm-hmm. But for the man-made threats, it's about governance. Mm-hmm. The coastal states, they have sovereign rights and jurisdictional rights at sea. Mm-hmm. If they are able to make their laws valid at sea, and control the seas, there will be less threats. So for me, the main the main gap for bringing a solution to that issue is stability and efficiency, effectivity on land, because those threats created by man are not born on sea, they're born from the land. The land system, the governance, as we call it, maritime governance, is weak or corrupted. It will project at sea. So this is what we see on sea is only a projection of what happens in security, transnational organized crime. It's a projection of what happens on land at sea. So the first thing to do is to try to solve things on land, have an awareness of maritime governance, and also have the tools to control the sea. So for me, this is really important. So governance and also maritime domain awareness and assets to be there. That means naval assets as well as air assets, because naval assets can be very limited in the scope of what they see, and transiting through the sea they are very slow, but aerial assets can help them see what's going on, and then they can head to the place where they want to see. And also even from the aerial assets as well as naval assets, they are limited by fuel that our states usually claim that they don't have fuel for this, they don't have fuel for that. But satellites can also scope the whole zone, maybe every 6 hours or every 2 hours, depending on the strength of the satellites, to tell that, ah, here in that area, there's a lot of vessels here. You may send some vessels in that place or airplane in that place to see whether they are conducting legal or illegal activities.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the response and sort of painting a clear picture on the role of governance, but also the role of, you could say, armament, like empowering the navies, for example, providing them with the assets that they need, providing the MDA awareness tools, but also the governance issues, providing for the people, coastal welfare and other things. The next question I have for you then is, do you feel that the international community also have a role to play? Because at the end of the day, they say that the sea does not necessarily belong to one person, and some of the threats that we talk about are also threats that the international vessels or foreign vessels contribute to. So does the international community have a role in playing in sort of supporting the holistic vision of maritime security of West African countries?
Okay, thank you for that, Dr. Ife. And if I didn't say it, so one country cannot defend its own EEZ, economic zone, or its own coastal zone, because the sea is a space of freedom. Almost every vessel can go anywhere there. There's no police checkpoint, no gendarmerie checkpoint, no custom checkpoint, and so on. So the time you see the vessel crossing, you just see it crossing. You cannot do anything about it. You have your radar, you see it, and the time your vessel or your aircraft got there, they are always crossed, or they have done their business, whether it is drug trafficking, IU fishing, and sea, and so on. So that means that you have to collaborate, cooperate with other nations. And that's also, you know, that African countries don't have a big commercial fleet. So most commercial fleets come from the international community. And when there are threats such as piracy, armed robbery, and sometimes terrorism, they are usually the first concern, because they are the ones who are coming here to have our oil, our agricultural products, our gas, and so on, exported, and so on. So they are good targets for perpetrators. And also, we need them to export our goods to have some money. And so it's important for them to be in a kind of trust and cooperation with the centers set up by the Yaoundé Architecture and the National Maritime Operational Centers to give information so that we can know what's happening. But this is also an issue. For some reasons, I think some of them don't trust our centers or our architecture, and in that environment, it's difficult to really ensure from our part their security. That's one part. The other part is that in the Gulf of Guinea, there's also a European project to the European strategy for the Gulf of Guinea, for the protection of the Gulf of Guinea. That's another. And also there's coordinated maritime presence.
Yeah.
This is good. They can help us when they are outside our zones of jurisdiction, so that we can collaborate. Because our pirates now.
Our pirates.
Yeah, they are born in the region.
Okay.
They are born in the region.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They are our citizens.
Okay, yes. Okay, yeah.
I don't have a pirate, but they are from our region. So.
All right, I'll concede. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they have...
the pirates of the Gulf of Guinea, yes.
They have increased their reach to go until 200 nautical miles or 300 nautical miles or more inside the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody is there to scare them away, and we are there in our EEZ or our territoriality. Maybe they can be frightened to not try to do their business.
Yeah.
Because on the coastal part of the land, and in the middle of the EEZ, and also in the high seas, there are always somebody checking. So they need some coordination between this coordinating maritime presence and other countries who come to protect their interests in the zone. They need to have some coordination between them and our regional centers and also our national centers to have a better maritime security environment in the Gulf of Guinea.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I don't want to take much of your time because, like I said, I know I'll be talking briefly with Captain Atom Fak about the Yaoundé and 10 years anniversary of the Yaoundé and the progress that they've made.
That was last year.
Yes. Yeah, that's 2023. I wonder really whether you think, because you mentioned the Yaoundé architecture, and this is my last question unless you have anything else to add. Looking forward, what is it that the Gulf of Guinea countries are not doing? Because in reflecting how we can holistically address the problem, you talked about holistic solution. So what do you think is the next step, or what do you think the next step should be in sort of addressing the threats to maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea holistically? What can we do differently, you know, from what we've been doing? Because we've made some progress. You've talked about international communities and the EU, the US as well, I guess, with their exercises and other things. But what is it that we need to do differently to maybe get to the point where we have the sustainable safety and security in the Gulf of Guinea? This is my last question, because I know you're very busy.
No, thank you, Doctor. You are very busy too, I know. So.
Okay.
Through our common venture in maritime security, through the countries belonging to ICAS, Economic Community of Central African States,
yeah.
GGC, Gulf of Guinea Commission,
yes.
ECOWAS, Economic Community of West African States, and so on.
Yeah.
We are collaborating, we are cooperating since 2013. There are strategies that have been built in Western Africa as well as in Central Africa. And the heads of the navies have been meeting, and the naval officials have been meeting, and that's a good thing. That build trust, because most of them have done the same academies, naval academies, and so on. So it was a good thing to find themselves. And our countries also, they have through the Yaoundé summit and through the national strategies that were set up, most of the governments have understood the importance of the sea to the development and economy. And so now we have seen also some successes concerning acts of piracy and armed robbery in the Gulf of Guinea. There have been, well, there were about 100 in the beginning of the 2010s and so on. Now it's about one or two cases per year, since 2 or 3 years. So concerning acts of piracy and armed robbery, I've done a lot. But it's not enough. We have other threats. As I told you in the beginning, you have also IU fishing that is pervasive everywhere.
Yeah.
And you don't know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And drugs dealings also, you don't have the intelligence whether this vessel that is coming with some clothes, transport also some drugs and so on, that needs intelligence. And we have many things that we have to overcome. That means that I've always sought for an overall coastal ring of radars through all of the countries of the Gulf of Guinea. The radars, the coastal radars, can see up to about 30 nautical miles.
Okay.
And this is our critical security zone. Yeah, once you cross this, you are near the country, and that's not good for the security. If we can have that ring of radars, this is what I'm appealing to our donors, because we are technologically not adapted to invent radars and so on, but we can appeal to some help, and we can also buy them if the head of states, the decision makers, can buy just ring of radars to make at least that band of 30 nautical miles safe for every country.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we can go beyond, take airplanes to surveil the rest, and drones and satellites also, and then the vessels would be there.
Mm-hmm.
We have acquired, our head of state have acquired us some offshore patrol vessels.
Yeah.
But before they go wandering, they consume a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
So fuel, to have fuel is a challenge for them. And we have to, I'm going to talk about it later on, but we have acquired some assets, some platform to go and interdict.
Okay.
But where are you going to interdict?
If you don't know what's there.
If you don't know what's there.
Yeah.
So the MDA, through radars, coastal radars, through airplanes and drones, through satellites, is really important to know what's going on, so that you can focus, can head to that zone and so on. And while doing this, you need money. All of this, I've said, needs funding.
Yeah.
So we have to find sustainable funding to fund this, because we are not technologically developed countries to produce radars, to produce patrol vessels, produce airplanes and so on. So even if we had everything that needs money, and but if we had a source of money that is enough, as in Nigeria, for example, they have, let's say, Falcon Eye, the city of Falcon Eye with Nigerian Navy, they have also Deep Blue, the Limassa, and this is really important to know what's happening. Mm. The first step is to know what's happening there.
Yeah.
And before that, you have to clear up the mess on land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If there's a good governance on land, there's no corruption between fisheries, agencies, between the maritime agencies, the Navy, and so forth. If everything clear there, it's a good step. You have a clear view and have good persons to go and tackle the problem. So, having the funding, having the governance, and also having the right assets, it's good to tackle the issues at sea. I don't know if I answered
this
cooperation. And cooperation, of course, between the countries of Gulf of Guinea and the external partners from everywhere in the world.
Okay, it's well, you have actually gone above and beyond in responding to the questions. We've looked at holistically addressing the problem, what the threats are, how we're cooperating with our international partners, and how we can actually start with the necessary step to start solving this problem. And on this note, I want to say thank you so much. I know that there will be other opportunities to speak to you, and I know that you'll be willing to speak to us in future when we want to pick up this topic again on maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea. But for now, I want to say thank you so much for speaking to us on holistically addressing maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea. To our listeners, thank you also for listening. Senior Captain Charles Bamile, thank you for being on African Jeopardy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ife. It's been a pleasure, and to share my views. Of course, they are personal.
Yes.
I am not representing my country or any institution here. It's only my personal views about what I think through my service in the Navy and in the maritime security domain.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Doctor.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to African Jeopardy. My name is Ife, and I'm recording from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Today, we're going to be discussing Decoding Yaounde, a look at a decade of change with Navy Captain Cyril Serge Atomfak Guemo. Navy Captain Atomfak Guemo has since 2013 been the rapporteur of the operational cell of the National Committee set up to follow up the implementation of decisions stemming from the Summit of Heads of States and Government, members of ECAS, ECOWAS, and GGC, that is Economic Committee of Central African States, Economic Community of West African States, and the Gulf of Guinea Commission on Maritime Safety and Security in the Gulf of Guinea. Since 2016, Navy Captain Atomfak has served as the technical advisor to the Ministry of Defense and concomitantly the head of communication division spokesperson for the Cameroonian forces since 2019. He holds a bachelor's degree in political science from the University of Yaounde and a master's in maritime law from the European Institute of Maritime Studies in Brest, France. Captain Atomfak, thank you so much for being our guest on this episode of African Jeopardy.
Happy to be with you, Dr. Ife.
I'm just going to go straight to the point, given that I know that you're very busy, and ask you, can you please tell us what the Yaounde Agreement is and why it was necessary?
The Yaounde Agreement, Dr. Ife, or the Yaounde Memorandum of Understanding, to put it correctly, is a document of understanding which closed on June 25, 2013, the Summit of Head of State and Government of ECAS and ECOWAS held in Yaounde and relating to maritime security and safety in the Gulf of Guinea, the 25 signatory of the 6,000 kilometer long coastal strip, which runs from Namibia in the south to Senegal in the north, have committed to pooling their efforts in accordance with Resolution 2018 of 2011 and 2039 of 2012 of the United Nations Security Council to effectively address insecurity and the various attacks on the common maritime space of West and Central Africa.
Thank you so much for that explanation. I mean, it's quite straightforward in sort of helping us make sense of why the agreement was necessary in the first place. Now I'll move on to ask you, can you tell us a bit more about the architecture? Because that's really where the magic happens.
Dr. Ife, as you know, the maritime security and safety architecture of the Gulf of Guinea, which resulted from this agreement at the summit, is a clever mechanism which combines both political support and very professional operational control and implementation of the shared defense tools of the states of ECAS and ECOWAS to curb maritime insecurity. It is a four-level system with a political body at the summit, the annual meeting of senior officials, a real umbrella body which brings together ECAS, ECOWAS, and GGC. GGC is Gulf of Guinea Commission. This body instructs the Interregional Coordination Center, the strategic political level of architecture, which matures the strategies and transforms them into lines of action for the two regional centers that are CRESMAC for Central Africa, based in Pointe Noire in Congo, and CRESMAO for West Africa, based in Abidjan in Ivory Coast. These regional centers coordinated the two multinational coordination centers in Central Africa, A in Luanda in Angola, and D in Douala for CRESMAC, E in Cotonou in Benin, F in Accra in Ghana, and G in Praia in Cape Verde for CRESMAO. This is the architecture.
Okay. Thank you so much again for really straightforward responses, which I hope our listeners will find useful, especially this is like an introductory insight into what the Yaounde architecture is all about. Now, it has been 10 years since the agreement was signed in Yaounde in 2013. I wonder if you can tell us about the achievements made by the Yaounde agreement or the Yaounde Code of Conduct since it was signed in 2013.
Dr. Ife, the first thing to note is the feat achieved by the state of the Gulf of Guinea in a fully controlled endogenous process of operationalizing a real strategy for securing their vital interests at sea, taking into account the overall security of the region and the imperatives of protection and sustainability of their marine environment resources. The second success to be mentioned here is the effectiveness of the pooling of naval tools in their national marine and or coast guard configuration through small state grouping through multinational coordination centers, and which managed to accomplish successfully carry out real police mission at sea to guarantee a secure body of water and viable economic activities. The third and last success that we can mention here is regional integration, the free cross-border movement of goods and capitals, which is boosted here in the region. When I say region, it is Central Africa and West Africa, both.
Okay. Thank you so much for highlighting some of the core achievements that has been made by the countries that are signatories of the Yaounde Agreement in 2013. The question then is, what has been the challenges? Because we know that with every good thing, there are challenges. Can you tell us some of the challenges that has been encountered by the architecture or the region as a whole since the agreement was signed in 2013?
There is more challenges, but I will focus on one.
Okay.
So that I prefer to emphasize the most serious challenge, which is the challenge of sustainable financing of architecture. from the CIC through the regional centers to the multinational coordination centers. This is the most stubborn equation that must be solved without further delay.
Okay, thank you so much. I like the straightforward response in terms of highlighting that financing is a big issue, and we know, I mean, different issues relating to financing comes up. The question then is, so that it's not like we're being prescriptive in identifying a problem without making recommendations to the solution. So can you tell us, how do you think we can address this financial challenge that you have identified?
No, personally, I don't have the solution, but I can just give you the point of situation.
Okay.
Studies are underway in the region, the two regional economic commission, to determine the financial model to adopt. The model selected will be the one which presents the least porosity and the greatest possible resilience capacities. When the time comes, architecture decision makers will decline their choice. And be sure I'll come back to you.
Okay, so for now, we will wait until the study is completed, and then we would have more clarity as to the one that the architecture is going to decide in terms of how they are going to be financed. Thank you so much for your time. I wonder if there's anything else you would like to add, perhaps something I've missed out that you would like to add to the conversation.
Why not? I would like to highlight the public expression of the will of politicians who are now straddling the imperative of sound maritime governance of the water body of the Gulf of Guinea, a vital artery of global maritime trade, and above all, a source of protein for coastal populations. It is also necessary to specify the high level of maritime awareness never reached before, and which results in the prioritization of the protection of the marine environment and its multiple opportunities, an option which itself leads to the blue economy and essential viability of the future from the continent. I am optimistic for the near future.
Okay, Navy Captain Atomfagoemo, it's really been a pleasure speaking to you and learning from you. Thank you so much for speaking to us on African Jeopardy.
The pleasure is mine, Dr. Rifi.
To our listeners, thank you so much for listening and take care. Bye.